From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Thank you for bringing us together again. You're the West Bank of Demerara. Thank you for what you have in store for us. I pray you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives. Let us not leave your presence the same as we came. In Jesus' name, somebody said amen. Hallelujah. Give Jesus a big hand clap tonight. And you may be seated. Wow. Is it cold on the west side? It's cold. It's not. Georgetown is colder. It cannot be. It cannot be that Georgetown is colder. You can sit in front there, you know. You can sit right there so that you don't have to go back and forth. It's a bit disturbing. You sit right here so that when I need you, you can even make eye contact, isn't it? It's the place. It's empty anyway. I don't know. Is it angels? Is it for angels? See if microphones have seats. Microphones are sitting there. So feel free. Yeah. Are you excited to be here tonight again? Are you sure? Who did you bring? Yourself? You yourself cried. You didn't bring yourself. Somebody brought you. You caught a hike. You caught a drop. You should come with your own car or something sometimes, huh? Receive your own vehicle. Psalm 95. Psalm 95. These that's what they call them, industrial fans. They make you feel like you're in the factory. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Is that the best sound I can get, Kofi? Can I get better? Verse 2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God. Is He a great God? Yes. And a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. Did you see, is it in Hawaii that magma is flowing out of a volcano? It's too fantastic. I mean, fire is like water flowing out of the mountain like that. Come drop it like this. It's amazing. If you go there, hell is even better than that. So in His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. Verse 5, the sea is His and He made it. Can you make a sea? Do you know anyone who can make a sea? So what can you make? You should ask the people who are walking around so proud and ask them, what can they make? Raj, Renata, I didn't see you on Sunday. Oh, you had a family time or what? The sea is His, and He made it. You see, people have things, but they didn't buy it. People have things, they didn't really acquire it. They got it because it was given to them. No, it is like even church. Those of you who are pastors, you are running church. I sent you where you went. That's why the people, you are not getting people, because You cannot. He said the sea is his, and he made it. So as I even gave you the chance to start a church, you should have people. Eh? Before you go and create a bookshelf that is from Adam's time. Back in the day, so. Back in the day, so. Ah! The church is his. And he made it. And people sometimes don't know the difference between things. Do you know why you're laughing? If you go and make a bookshelf that's Amerindian, you'll be in trouble, pa. with a straw. You make a bookshelf with a straw. Huh? And his hands formed the dry land. He made them. I tell you, all the things we've come to see here on earth, many people who profess to be whoever, they can't make anything. Prince Harry, is it Meghan? All these people, Queen Elizabeth, they can't make nothing. It is what we have come to meet, that they are trying to be lords and big men over. And they want us to be, they want us to stand when they are passing. They want us to be silent when they are moving. What about God? Who? The sea is his. He owns the sea. What do people own? A small 100 by 50? Even water, we can't manage water. It's either brown, it's not clean, it doesn't come regularly. Even the water that has been made, we can't manage it. Yeah. The sea is his and he made it. I don't know about others. What they have been able to make. His hands formed the dry land. Verse 7. Oh, verse 6, okay. Oh, come. So if you understand all this and you understand who made all this and who God really is, then he says, okay, then now let's come. Let us worship and bow down. The one who owns the sea and he made it, he deserves respect. And you don't respect him until you are actively doing it. You see, so it's a biblical culture where you show respect to somebody by acting it. You act respect. You can't say, oh, I respect you without showing anything. That is why in the traditional churches, like the Catholic churches and the Anglican churches, you kneel a lot in a church. In fact, their setup is such that there is a place created for you to kneel on. Because if you don't kneel before God, then you don't respect God. But you see, time has passed that kneeling alone doesn't mean that you respect if it's not from your heart. So now, we've got a newer version where we respect God without kneeling, but we also don't respect without kneeling. So a combination of the two is what is right. That you physically kneel, and then from your heart also, you are humble in your heart and you are respected from your heart. So the fact that we respect God and everything is now from the heart doesn't mean that physically we shouldn't show something. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's like if you are grateful to somebody and you are telling the person thank you, you just don't say thank you with your mouth. You have to show thank you with something. Yeah, are you listening? So if you see that he's the one who has the sea is his, he made it. Then you ask yourself, can you make a drop of water? Those who even sterilize water, they want to collect a lot of money from us. Look at the Demerara River. We can't drink it. We can't even generate electricity from it. So if the one who owns the sea, who go back to verse 5, he says that the sea is his and he made it. He made it. How do you make the sea? When the Malaysian airline MH317 disappeared from the radar. And up to now, they have not found the Malaysian Airlines. Up to now. There are theories that they are saying or bringing forward that the part of the Indian Ocean that it fell into. I mean, they are thinking that it fell into the Indian Ocean. And the part that it fell into, it is so deep that there are mountains from the bed of the sea that comes so high. There are mountains in that part of the Indian Ocean that is as high as, more even more higher than some mountains here on earth. So when you go down the sea, you're actually starting from the top of a mountain. The sea is his. So if you see such a man who made the sea, if he's a man, what do? Don't you go down and lie down before him? You can't stand and say, "For you are great." You don't respect. You don't understand who you have come before. Somebody who has made the sea itself, inside the sea has mountains. And inside the sea has all forms of creatures. Including fishes that are so big that they open their mouth, you can go inside and they'll close it. Yeah, you can eat fish, and there's a fish that can also eat you. you just decompose in the fish's belly, and then you are done. Yeah. So I hope you are following me. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. If you see somebody like this, I mean, even people like Facebook, founders, Microsoft, Warren Buffett, all these kind of people, if you meet them, you are very amused. You are very excited. You want to shake hands. You want to take picture. When you meet somebody who has achieved something, you can't just stand still. I remember one of those many years ago, I saw Michael Jackson. I think he was in Paris. And it was on TV. Like, just was in Paris. I think he was there for a show. And his fans, they had gone to the hotel. I think they got a hint that he was staying in that hotel. So they had gone there to stay there overnight. Not inside the hotel, outside the hotel. I don't know how Michael got into the hotel. They had to whisk him somehow, some secret entrance to enter the hotel. Because the people were outside the hotel waiting for Michael Jackson. So in the morning, they wanted to just have a glimpse of somebody whose face is falling down. His nose is falling down. He's melting. His face is a black man who has become white. Not white with his nose and everything falling off. He can't take the sun. Yeah, he uses umbrella like a girl all the time. So I think in the morning, his producers and these managers said, "You know what? You just come to the balcony of the hotel and wave at the fans." Hey, I saw the clip. He came to the balcony. He came out to wave. Come and see. My God! People were crying. Hey, people were crying. Oh, my God. I love you, Michael Jackson. I am talking about the one who made the sea, and the sea is for him. So the Bible says that if you know who we are talking about, verse 6, then let's come and worship him. Let us what? Bow down. Come, let us worship him. Because, hey, Charlie, if I see you and you have achieved something like this, I have to show my respect and honor to you. And that is one thing that I say all the time that we don't appreciate in Guyana. The Guyanese system is not designed for people to respect somebody who is even 1 year older than them. That's how the schools are like that. That's how the homes are like that. That's how the society is like that. Children don't respect parents. Wife don't respect husband. Husband don't respect mother-in-law. all kinds of things. It is a crushed and a very depraved and sad society. Because we are not taught to respect somebody who has something that you don't have. Yeah. I was talking to the children in Ghana, Bible school. And one guy got into trouble, so I made a comment about his trouble. And then the rest started also making comments about his trouble. Then he picked up on one girl. That you two, you dip on something. Yeah. So then I went in and said, brother, shut your mouth. You are too proud. This person that you are speaking against, this person has passed an exam you have not passed. I'm not saying she's better than you or anything, or the person is more important than you, but the person has passed an exam that you have not passed. It should make you be quiet when it comes to somebody else. And that's what we don't understand. That you didn't finish school. Somebody has finished school and you don't respect them. That's why you don't go forward. Yeah. You are not minding any child. Somebody who's minding a child, you don't respect them. You have not even conceived one to carry it for 9 months to bring it out. And you don't respect somebody who has done that. Yeah. I'm preaching a nice message. You have not sat in an aeroplane before. And those who have sat in aeroplanes, you don't respect them. And there are some of you, you've never sat in an aeroplane before. It's true. You just see it fly. You've never sat inside before. You don't know how it feels to sit inside. And even when you sit inside, you don't know how to operate the TV. You don't even know how to recline the chair. The seat. I mean, when the food comes, you don't know how to eat it. You say you don't like plain food. No, it's not plain food you don't like. You don't understand what plain food is. Aina. You don't know where to go. Once upon a time, I had somebody coming from Africa through Brazil. The person was supposed to arrive this morning. The person came tomorrow morning. So we are all in panic. Say, hey, what has happened to this person? So the next morning, we went to meet the person. The person called at the point that, oh, they are here. They missed the flight. So they are coming tomorrow morning. I said, okay. At least the person is coming. So went the next day to the airport to pick the person up. So I asked the person, how come you didn't come yesterday? The person said they missed their flight in Sao Paulo or Brasilia, somewhere in Brazil. I said, me not understand. I said, how can you miss your flight when you are transiting for 12 hours? It's not like when you got there, the plane was going, so you started to run behind it. And they said, no, they won't take you. You arrived at the airport 12 hours before your next flight. How can you miss the flight? Then the person is trying to tell me that the people didn't speak English. You think we've not traveled before? You think we've not gone to Brazil before? There's nobody in this world who doesn't speak English at an international airport. Even if they don't speak English, they have sortie, exit, entrance, outgang, ingang, whatever. They'll write it and write it in English. They will give you arrows. That your flight number, your flight time, your flight gate, all of that is on a big monitor. You didn't go to school? Oh, you think it was TV? You are watching movies. Ninja, didn't you see a departure gate and all those is on a monitor? Yeah. So this person telling me that the minister found him, nobody spoke English. I said, you see, with all your math, you can't even transit through an airport. You can't even catch a plane. All you know is catch bus. Bus 42, bus 47, bus 31. Potential, Timiri, that's all. Because you just go and you flunk it like that. Tanza, one of our church members in Holland was telling me a joke when she came for holidays. She said her first time trying to get a bus in Holland, she went on the roadside, and when the bus was coming, she was trying to flank the bus. She said to her surprise, the bus passed her by. And then she said, oh, why? The bus went straight to the bus stop to stop. If you're not at the bus stop, it means you don't need a bus. He said, it's the relative. You see, and that is why when our government gives us bus sheds or bus stops, we should respect it and we should look. Because otherwise, when you get to another country, you become a bushman. You'll be a bush girl. You stand on the main road and you're trying to fly. You think it's bus 42? You think it's a back road, front road? You think it's potential? You think it's going to canal number 2? Bagotsville? Shut up! Are you following? I'm taking you somewhere. Are you following me? So I'm saying that if somebody does something, that person deserves respect. You see, it's not easy to own a bicycle. You may not respect it, but you don't have a bicycle. Then you go to a motorbike. Motorbike, there are levels of the motorbike. There are the cheaper ones, and there are the luxurious ones that can buy a vehicle. I saw a motorbike, I said, I like it. Somebody said, oh, the price of this can buy Brother Sherwin's vehicle. I said, hey, two of them. I said, hey! I don't know how they remembered. Pastor Calvin says, can buy three. I said, hey, I didn't know the motor was expensive like that. Because Brother Sherwin's vehicle is expensive. No. He has a vehicle that brings him to Wales. You have to catch bus. So as we are talking about Brother Sherwin, I have something bigger than him. That's why I'm talking about it. And so you don't laugh when you don't have what he has. This is what I'm trying to explain. That respect must come with levels. Because it's not everybody who can have what somebody has. And you can't take it for granted. Oh, no, you can't do that. So if we have that among us, then we can look at God properly. Then we can look at God properly, because when it comes to God, there's nobody who can match him. He made the sea. That's why when you come to church, you go on your knees. Because you have come before somebody who can actually make you not breathe again. If you like, try. It'll be your last breath tonight. Yeah. So the psalmist is saying that if this is the person that I am looking up to or I'm looking at, then I have to come and worship. He said, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. Go on our knees. Go on your knees. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Do you kneel when you come to church? You are thinking of your knees. He made the knees. He would take the cap off. You see that you be like that. 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Now, you don't say a human being is part of a pasture. It's not correct English. Those of us who went to University of Guyana. Yeah. People are not part of a pasture. They are part of a team, part of a group, part of something. Right? But not part. The people cannot be compared as pasture, because pasture is for animals. You can't describe a human being as an animal. It doesn't work, because human beings are human beings. But the Bible term is referring to human beings as a group of people that belongs to a pasture. In other words, it's not just human beings, but that's why in the next phrase, he says, and the sheep of his hand. So in other words, human beings in the sight of God are sheep. Psalm 100. Verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You see, he's the one who created the sea, and the sea is for him. So when you come to him, you have to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He said, come before him, or serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And then he says what? He says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Some people walk around the surface of the earth as if they made themselves. He made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. And you see here, he puts the right animal to the right place. And the sheep of his pasture. So, in other words, God has a pasture full of sheep. And you and I are referred to as sheep of God's pasture. Hallelujah. I'm not sure if you are happy being a sheep or you want to be an antelope. Which one do you prefer? You want to be a snake? Or you want to be a yari? Yeah. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Are you there? All we, or like in Guyanese, Alawi. Alawi. We are compared to sheep, like sheep have gone astray. There are several places in the Bible. Psalm 23, it says that the Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd means you cannot have a shepherd if you are not a sheep. It's only sheep that have shepherd. You see, so I want us to establish the fact that God sees us, and human beings are like sheep. And there's a reason why the Bible compares or likens Christians or the people of God to sheep. Sheep is one of the animals that is very dependent on a guide. One of the few animals who, if they don't have somebody to lead them, they can easily get lost and be around. I mean, all kinds of things. So sheep is an animal that really is kind of made or created to need or to have a guide and a shepherd. Like we were created to depend on God. So I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to you about shepherding. Because if you and I are compared to sheep, then we have to do a course in shepherding. We being sheep, we being shepherds, taking care of sheep, leading sheep, guiding sheep, all kinds of, we have to study. It's like if you're a dango, you must have studied dangology. You can't be a proper dango if you didn't do dangology. I don't respect your dangalistic or your dangalism. You must have a degree in dangology. Are you there? So it's right to look at sheepology. Sheepism. Sheep, shepherd. So let me start from this part. What it means for the sheep to have no shepherd. So we are sheep of his pasture. What does it mean to be a sheep that doesn't belong to a pasture? Can you imagine yourself without having a place to stay? Where will you be? And that's why many people, they don't have a place to stay, so they depend on others. In abroad, because you have these buses and trains that work 24 hours, some people will be in a train and ride the train all night. And when it's morning, then they get out, they go to wherever they have to go to. The reason why some girls will go by a boy is because they don't have a place to stay. They don't belong anywhere. So they're glad to get a boyfriend so they can live there. I saw a young girl the other day with a mother of her boyfriend working as if it's her own mother. When I saw it, I received instruction. I said, this girl is looking for a place to stay. And somebody has made a mistake to go and touch she. Or made a mistake to take her to his house. Now the girl has found a way. She is in the house like she lives there. In fact, she lives there. As if she was not born into any place. There are people walking around desperate looking for a place to stay. What does it mean to be a human being described as a sheep without the right form of shepherd? What does it mean? What does it mean for you and I to be out here in the world living our own lives as sheep without a shepherd? It should never be that you are a sheep and you don't have a shepherd. Because you are a prime candidate to the devil. You see, when the devil comes into your life, all he's looking for is, who do I have to go through to go to this person? If he sees that there's no covering, if he sees that there's nobody there, then it's like he enjoys. Yeah. Now even my pastors, that's one of the things that God revealed Sunday night through our meeting. That many people, many of you are not following. You don't have anybody who is covering you. You may be a branch pastor, but the things you are doing there, it has no approval from anybody. That's why you make a bookshelf ugly like anything. Who's that? Is it Charlie? One of my pastors has gone to make a bookshelf in their church. Two bookshelves. What do we have the picture? Let me show the church. You see, so number one, if I am your pastor, when you come to the church that I pastor in, how many bookshelves do you see there? It's one. I am even saying that if you want to do a, why is Charlie so excited? I'm saying that even if you want to do a bookshelf, you come to Georgetown or you call somebody who in and say, you know what, please, I want to make a bookshelf. Even if you don't want to talk to me, if you don't like me, fine. But tell somebody to say, you know what, can you take a picture of the bookshelf in Georgetown or in Isla Penitence? And can you send it to me? I have a carpenter who is very good to just do the bookshelf for me. No. The person wants to do a bookshelf. The bookshelf has legs. You know kangaroo legs? You know kangaroo? The kangaroo is not just the one that is on the ground, but it has one that goes in front. The bookshelf is like a kangaroo. And it's two. And the top is not straight. The top is like an arch. It has an arch. Independence arch. And the space between the shelves is big. If you put in a book, it will fall down. Even a textbook. I think you need modern marriage to really get it in order. So when I saw the picture of a bookshelf in one of my chair branches, you see that the sheep is disconnected. Ah! I said, look at you. You don't belong in a pasture. And therefore, what is going on, what people are benefiting, you are not benefiting because you are a stray animal. The Bible says, all are we, like sheep, have gone astray. What does it mean to be a sheep without a shepherd? What it means for the sheep to have no shepherd? Number one, aimlessness. No aim. No aim. The bookshelf has no plan, no strategy, no aim. There's nothing about the bookshelf. It's not the bookshelf. It's some black wooden structure. I can't believe. You see, It is so good that I didn't go to the church to see it for myself, because I don't know where they will position this bookshelf. Because I know the church, I know the space in front. I can't imagine. Two kangaroo-like bookshelf. One on the left, one on the right. Even the two thieves are better. You see, so I was telling the pastor, you think we are just in this church, we don't everything we do, you may not know, everything we do, there's a plan. You may not understand. So if you want to do something, you have to find out. A sheep with no shepherd, or a human being without a guide or a pastor, is aimless. And you see, don't be deceived to think that, oh, you have to be in the church. No, you can be in the church and still be aimless. There are two classes of people. There are those who don't have a shepherd because they are not part of a church. And there are those who are part of a church but do not submit to a pastor. Both are in the same category. Aimless. You see, because as long as you have a pastor over your life, you are sure he will take you somewhere. See, and that's how we are looking at it in the area of sheep and shepherd. Because if you are a sheep, your shepherd will take you somewhere. In the morning, he will open the pen. He will take you out somewhere to go and find some green grass. That's why David said that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23 said, he maketh me, the shepherd makes me to lie down. And he leads me he makes me to lie down in green pastures. It is the shepherd that actually brings the sheep to a point where the grass is green. He said, he leads me. It's the shepherd that leads me. You see, so as you have somebody leading you, you have an aim. You can't be aimless when you have somebody leading you. Yeah. So you can be outside the church. Your case is serious. But you can be inside the church without aim, because
You don't have the shepherd. You have not made the pastor of the shepherd to be over your life.
So you'll be going round and round and round. Your church will be going round and round and round and round. You wonder why your church is not working. You don't have a shepherd. Numbers 27, verse 15. People are aimless and without direction when there is no shepherd to lead them out and to bring them in. Human beings, rather. You see, that's why the Isaiah said, all of us, we are like sheep that has gone astray. Because that's how human beings want. Wayne. We like to be on our own. We like to do our own thing. But what it means is that you are actually acting as a sheep without guidance. I think I saw something on social media earlier today of a dog that an anaconda was trying to take away. Come and see the owner of the dog. He called his friends. Hey, they came to take the anaconda by the tail. They started moving, pulling the anaconda from the tail. And as they were pulling them from the tail, then it was unwinding from the dog. Some nice black puppy dog. Oh. Then at a point, the anaconda was, the head part was still around the dog. They took a stick and were hitting the head until it loosed the dog. Now, if you don't have a shepherd, nobody's coming to fight to release you from anywhere. Yeah. Nobody's coming for you. You are just there by yourself. Numbers 27 verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. The congregation needs a man to be above it. You cannot live your life, you yourself and you. You cannot live your life, you, your wife, and children alone. You need somebody that God will place over your life. Let God, Moses said, let the Lord, the God of the Spirit, and many men in Guyana are so proud and they are aimless. You even see it in our church. You see, the girls are more active than the boys. True or correct? You see my small little girl keyboardist? I don't know how many men will be able to do what she does. Many of you guys are sitting down bum like that. A little girl plays keyboard, plays for anybody who come and sing. If Showboy comes, she'll play. Joanna comes, she'll play. Choir comes, she'll play. We'll play, morning, afternoon, evening. Then she will dance. And so sometimes when she misses the steps, you don't understand. It's too much things in her head. Because you, not even one move of the dance are you partaking. That's what I started by saying. You should not look at people just, you should look at achievement. And in Guyana, we don't do that. In Guyana, we don't look at people and their achievement and give them respect. We don't do that. You just see someone, you just talk anyhow. One day, I think we had something at the church in Isla Penitence. We rented a tent from, I think, Star Party Rentals or so. And the next day, the boys came to pick up the tent. So they lose the tent and the cloth, the tent, was on the plastic, was on the ground. So I had gone into the compound. I was on a bicycle. I was with my son. We were all riding. So I got in there, had some fellowship. So I wanted to use the side gate on the western side. So the, you know, the the tent, the tarpaulin or whatever you call it, was on the ground. So I just rolled over it. Then one guy said, "Hey, big man, what kind of stupidness you there, Paul?" So I stopped and I said, "Are you talking to me?" "Yeah, you're a big man, you there, Paul, stupidness." I said, "Do you know who you are talking to?" He said, "Me care, you, right in the church yard." Bonto was there. I thought Bonto would have gone to slap the guy for me. So when I realized that the guy was ignorant, Bonto, you remember? You are sitting down and talking. You remember or you don't remember? When I realized that Bonto and somebody else, they were not even seeing what was going on. I just kept quiet and I just rode away. Yeah. So I said, this guy, you are working for somebody. They give you some little $2,000 a day or something. You have come to the church, millions of dollars that I am the pastor of. And you are coming to insult me right in my yard. So I realized that the people who are even with me don't even understand what was going on. So I just kept quiet and left. Because if I had gone on with the guy, it would have been a fight. And I'm sure Bonto would never have even fought for me. Because he doesn't even understand what's going on. Because you cannot be there as one of my guys and somebody comes to my compound and a person is talking to me in a certain way and you are there looking at a person like that. Something is wrong. Yeah. You say, "Hey, boy, go out. You can't come to this compound anymore." Then the guy will know who he was actually talking to. But he didn't learn anything because nobody said anything. I had to just walk away. So this little girl is playing keyboard, is dancing. Once you put a song, at least I can do that one, isn't it? She'll dance. Some of you can't do it. Charlene, can you try? You cannot. Okay. Can you play the keyboard to one song? Hallelujah. Okay. Then, after that, she's a teacher. She teaches at the secondary school where my friend Andrew goes. Where's my friend Andrew? He didn't come tonight. Yeah. She teaches. Wakes up in the morning and goes and do, "Okay, class, good morning. Today we are going to study about Arawak people." Arawak. Yeah. And then she goes to the university after teaching. You may probably see her and not see anything about her, but please assess and analyze what this person is doing, and that is where the respect must come from. She's also a cell leader. She has an area where she preaches. Oh, small girl. He's a big man. What do you do? So, he says, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." Set a man. Not an angel. A man. Even that one is another message. But set a man over. It tells you that when it comes to people, you need somebody to be over people. And therefore, one of the things you must actually ask yourself is, if you don't have somebody over you, something is wrong. You are very, very likely to have an aim that is still aimless. Yeah. Because my pastor, who had these two kangaroo-like bookshelves, I asked this pastor, "Do you know that the bookshelf, the size, the height, the width, the breadth, the dimensions, it was Bishop Daguerre Mills who
put it together and he sent it to all of the senior pastors so that if we need it for any branch, we look at the same. Did you know that? I said, see, you are aimless. Because you don't have anybody over you. When you want something, you think you can get it. You see, even when you want something, you have to ask. Charlie, I'm looking for a shoe. Do you know where I can get a good shoe? Is there any place in town you know where I can get a nice shoe, a good shoe, or something? You cannot just get up and say, well, I have money, I'm going to look for a shoe to buy. You buy a shoe, the moment you wear it, that same day, the heel is off. Yeah. There was this guy who was actually assessing the guest at Harry's wedding, Harry and Megan's wedding, and their dressing. And he put comment. Hey! I mean, you see the dressing, you think, oh, wow, that's not bad, that's nice. No. This is it, what is this guy, this black guy? Idris, is it Idris or something? What's this guy's name? Idris Alba. He said, that guy. He said, the wife, or the woman that he was working with, the guy said, ah, she could have better come without a cardigan. It's like she was wearing a pullover, like something like what Mary is wearing. He said, you don't go to a royal wedding with a pullover. Because the dressing looks very nice, but if you look at it, it's like a pullover. Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's fantastic. You see, so you need it. He said, set a man over the congregation. So when you have a congregation without a man, something is not right. Something is missing. Something is needed. Do you have a man over you as a congregation? What will the person do? Verse 17. The man who you set over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. Because there must be a going out. There must be a coming in. And going out is not just going out. You must go out somewhere. And that place, a sheep does not have an idea about it. You need a man who is not an animal, who is not a sheep, to lead the people to such a place. A sheep, you and I need somebody over our lives. I tell you. Otherwise, aim, there's no aim. If there is no shepherd, there's no aim. Because the man that Moses is saying, set this man over the congregation, is because Moses was talking from an experience angle. Because Numbers is what? You have Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, or Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. So it's five books of Moses, isn't it? That's how we call it. So in Numbers 27, it means Moses' life is actually coming to an end. So he's actually pleading that as I am about to disappear, please, these people can't be without a shepherd. They can't be. I mean, I have led them from Egypt right to this point. Now my time is almost up. Please, Lord, have you thought about another replacement? Because these people cannot be without. What does 18 say? It is God's plan that you have an aim and that you have a shepherd. Amen. So the Lord said unto Moses, take with you Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit. The spirit. He said, there's something about you that is also around Joshua. So the spirit of this ministry, the spirit of this movement, the spirit with direction, it is on this guy. And he says, and lay thy hand upon him. Verse 19. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight. 20.
And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. It's like there cannot be a moment where the people should not have a leader. It's not only a country that needs a president. It's not only a school that needs a headmistress. The church also needs a pastor. You and I, you see, all these things are in place because human beings are like sheep who, if we don't have somebody over us, will be aimless. You see, we have in Samaria, if you go to Samaria, on your way, canal number two, you see a lot of bridges. The NDC has a couple of bridges that you cross from the public road to the dam.
But everybody has also created their own simple, small, tailor-made kind of bridges.
So there's a bridge that is on the eastern side of our property. The man at the shop, he constructed the bridge. So he has actually issued a warning to his neighbor not to use the bridge anymore. So the neighbor between the shop owner and us does not use that bridge. Because it's not his bridge. It's not the NDC bridge. It's the shop owner's bridge. Now can you imagine if this is a sign of no leadership? Because if there was a leader, maybe that bridge would not even be there. Because on the eastern side of our property, it's a stronger NDC-owned bridge that is supposed to service where we are at. So the shop owner should actually be using that same bridge. Otherwise, the NDC should do another bridge that everybody can use. But you see, when there's no leader, there's no aim. Some of the bridges, if you dare go and walk it in the night, you'll be surprised where you land. Because as you construct the bridge, you use your own specifications. You say, no, me won't spend so much money on this thing. So you put this, you put that. Before you realize, 2 mornings, the thing is falling down. That is why, like, in Europe, you have governments that are very socialist. And they make sure that everybody is taken care of. If you don't have a job, you still have money. If you have a job, you have money.
Because they think they cannot just leave you. If you don't have a job, they cannot just leave you. Because when people don't have jobs, they do other things. So if people don't have jobs, that's when they begin to get ideas of going into somebody's house, somebody's shop, somebody's room, and see if they can get a little something. Yeah, go to the bank and follow people who have left the bank with millions and stick them up with a gun and take that, all kinds of things. You see those guys who went to this business on Durban Street? I'm sure if they regretted because they were dead already. If they would shoot everybody like that, people would stop thieving people's things.
That's why gun control in America would never happen. You have a right to defend yourself. You have a right to own a gun. So I can open my doors and sleep. Clock my gun right next to me and I'll sleep. If you are my brother, don't come to my house in the night without telling me. Because when I open my eyes, the first thing is that, POW! Before I say, who is that? Anything that moves is a target. You don't come to my house. You call me until you come. So ladies and gentlemen, if you are a sheep, or sheep without a shepherd means there's no aim. It's God's plan that all of us will have shepherd, a shepherd, somebody who God has set over us to lead us on the right track. If you miss that, you are going to get lost because you don't have any aim. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. My time is up. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is to hear from you. Let us align ourselves. Let us be people who belong to a pasture. Let that man who you've set already, we don't lack that leader. We don't lack. You have given him to us.
for the benefit of those who may not even enjoy the full blessing that Lord you've given to us, I pray you'll help us to align and to submit and to avail ourselves to be led. To be led out and to be led in, as your word says. Like Moses, like Joshua, may we, O God, be leaders of people who see the need to have a shepherd over their lives. I give you praise tonight. And I give you glory in Jesus' name. You're here tonight. You're not saved. You're not born again. We can never end the service without giving you an opportunity to give your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. Tonight, you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. Pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. If I die right now, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell. If you're here like that, you want to give your life to Jesus. You want to give your heart to Jesus. I want to ask you to just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Just your right hand. Pastor, please pray for me. Pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, just your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's an important decision to make tonight. Your right hand. Your right hand. God bless you. Pastor, please. I need Jesus. I want my life to be affected. I need a shepherd over my life. I don't want to be aimless anymore. My right hand is up. Please, Pastor, pray with me. God bless you. I see that hand. If you lifted up your hand, you're really serious and you mean it, I want to ask you to come to the front so I can pray with you. Come. 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 Put your hands together for him as he comes. Clap for him. God bless you. Come. 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 Clap. 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 God bless you. I know you from somewhere. I know you from somewhere, isn't it? Wow. God bless you. Right here. Okay. Close your eyes with me. Say this prayer after me. Church, join in as we pray together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. I open my heart right now and I invite Jesus Christ to come into my life, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father. And by this prayer, I have been saved from hell. I am born again and my name is written in the book of life. I thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name. Amen. What's your name again? God bless you.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.